Dave, I think we firmly established that I'm a director. Right? I mean, I do have my favorite actors, but there are certain directors, if I see their name on a picture, I'm willing to see it. Now, I've never been a big Oliver Stone fan. I mean, don't get me wrong, Platoon is a classic. Wall Street is great. For some reason, I've never really been drawn to his work. I've never seen his name and say, oh, I gotta go see it. But it's with an open mind, Dave, that I watched and we watched Savages, his latest film, which stars possibly the most cursed actor of 2012, Taylor Kitsch, who was in John Carter, and he starred also in Battleship. And now he's here in Savages. It also stars Aaron Johnson, which I recognized the name, but I couldn't place it. Kick-Ass.
Yeah, he looked completely different.
Exactly. Him. Blake Lively also, who has been in, of course, some other classic films, such as Green Lantern, and stars currently in Gossip Girl. So does Stone's tale of three crazy drug-dealing kids that run afoul of a Mexican cartel reach the heights of those aforementioned classics? We'll also review the big releases on Blu-ray and DVD, and we're going to run down our inventory of the best films of 2012 so far. So settle in for some trademark Stone violence, and Dave, don't bogart that joint for the first run.
Just because I'm telling you this story doesn't mean I'm alive at the end of it. It's that kind of a story where things just got so out of control. Every successful business has an origin. Ben went to Berkeley and double majored in business and botany.
This is the best cannabis in the world.
I think we just struck gold.
He takes 99% of the violence out of the business. The other 1%? Well, that's where Tron comes in.
You guys, you have a clean business.
But now when cartels are moving north, they want a Ben and Tron section in aisle 3.
I love you guys.
It's the three of us now.
And yes, I'm with both of them.
It is your methods we want to partner with. We're not going to join you. Nothing personal.
I'm afraid our client would take this very personally.
They must be taught respect. I found their weakness.
Oh my God. I'd take the deal instead of decapitation.
Get your car, girl. And I will do anything, anything to get her back.
You stabbed a federal agent!
Seven of my men dead?
I told you they'd come for me.
Stop. Let me remind you that if I had to, I wouldn't have a problem cutting both their throats. There's something wrong with your love story, baby.
You let people think you're weak. Sooner or later, you're gonna have to kill them.
Hang in there, baby. We're coming for you.
So, Dave, we just heard a little clip from the Savages. Excuse me, no, just Savages. No indefinite articles. This is Oliver Stone's latest film, the man who has brought us, as I mentioned in the opening, some classic films, but some other films that, for me, don't really work.
Yeah, a lot of films don't really work.
One thing, too, that I think I should revisit it. I remember the first time I watched Natural Born Killers, I was actually turned off by that film.
Really?
It was just, for me, it was actually, I thought it was too much. It was too intense.
Oh, okay.
I thought the violence, it was too over the top for it. It just didn't really work for me. And he's had a bit of a bad streak lately.
Yeah.
Though I think it made a bunch of money. That Wall Street sequel was not very critically acclaimed.
That movie was terrible.
Then he had that, he did Alexander, which is supposed to be just horrible, which I did not actually see. W, which I actually didn't catch up with either.
I like that, though. That wasn't bad.
Okay, so you're thinking I should at least rent that? Anyway, so for me, Stone's been a little spotty, and he's never had that real pull for me. So how would you rank this on the Stone canon? Is this a definite must-see, or
no,
is this more of an Alexander?
I think this is kind of... No, it's not an Alexander by any means. It's
you know, it's just kind of keeping with what he's been doing lately. It's not nothing real outstanding as far as I'm concerned. He kind of puts out what I feel like are relatively solid movies, but they're just, there's no, like, I don't know, there's, you know how there's, like, a factor to, like, the stuff you really love that it's hard to explain?
Right.
There's none of that here, and it's hard to explain what it is.
That's certain, as a French say, I don't know what.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I don't know about you, but I could have gotten along with this movie, but the ending...
We'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And he does this weird bait and switch at the end that doesn't work. Actually, doesn't even serve a point. No. I don't understand why he even does it.
I don't know.
But for me, the film, it just, I don't know what it was. Like, every time I felt maybe it was going to pick up some steam,
it
would then kind of just go off track.
Yeah.
And it had some really interesting moments that I think just were tempered with these really bad scenes almost at some times. I thought were... Here's my theory on this film, because it's at some points it almost felt amateurish in the way the directorial decisions he makes in this movie, and I'm wondering if I'm starting to think it's a conscious decision on his part that he's making basically this kind of Hollywood B movie revenge type thriller is what he's doing. It's like his version of a B thriller.
Okay.
Once I kind of accepted that, I kind of got into it a little more. It's definitely as graphic and as exploitative as you expect some of his films to be. I'm concerned on some of his casting choices.
Yes.
Most specifically, Blake Lively.
Yeah.
I felt she kept me at arm's distance this entire film.
She narrates the film.
Which is a big problem because her performance is, she's able to suck any potential emotional investment for me out of this movie every time she's on screen.
I had a real trouble connecting with anybody in this movie.
I would agree.
A single character.
It's like I said, the film is very, keeps you at arm's length the entire time. And I've kind of felt like that's almost, for me, an issue I've had with his movies. I never get involved. I'm always kind of a passive, taciturn observer. That's all I've ever been with him.
I'll tell you what, like I said, there's not a single character in this movie that I can really get along with. Like, I really enjoyed watching. There was, I feel like there were some good performances that were very uneven. Like Benicio del Toro, especially, I thought, like, at some times he just felt super sinister.
Right.
And I was really digging him. And other times it was just like, I don't know, it's just, I just didn't buy it at all.
Right.
You know, and who played the DEA agent? I forgot his name. John
Travolta. Yeah.
He there's some parts, especially toward the end of the movie, where I really love his character. Like, you know, I don't love him as a person. I'm loving his, like, the way his character is acting. It feels believable. But then there's other parts, it's like, no, it's just ridiculous. You know?
Yeah, it does kind of, it does sway back and forth. Yeah, tonally like that. You're entirely right.
I thought that I was going to like, kind of, like, the dynamic between the two guys, like, the two main characters, and how, like, one of them is a pacifist, and one of them is ex-Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
But that even didn't really... It felt like, you know, the story dragged the pacifist along this path.
Right.
But I never felt like the emotional turn was in there.
Aaron Johnson's turn from the pacifist guy to a guy willing to do anything to rescue the girl didn't always feel... I don't know. I think he did an all right job emoting that, but I just...
I felt like he had one face.
That's my problem. Like I said, my problem is there's no emotional investment in this movie for me whatsoever. I agree with you on Del Toro, though. I did really love the scene between Travolta and Del Toro's characters at Travolta's house.
Yes, that was a great scene.
Because Del Toro, he's able to turn in this one scene from this just evil, vile guy into kind of like, hey, I'm your best friend. Don't forget, you know, like... In the way he works that scene and makes that transition, I absolutely love. It's probably my favorite scene in the film.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
But overall,
both of them were really good.
Yeah, but overall, it just, for me, it just never really came together. I think what really finally did it in, which is, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was an entertaining movie, but it just didn't. It never really fully came together, and I think my issue is the ending.
Ending's
his choice
awful.
In the ending. And then really Lively's performance is eventually what kind of would push me past giving this, like when we used to do grades, it would drop it down from like a B to a C for me, just because of those two things specifically.
Those two things and the length of the movie, I thought it was over.
Yeah, it could do a little editing.
Whatever, it's too long.
What do you think about Salma Hayek? I'm back and forth on her on this.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of hers to begin with. I don't think she's an overly good actress. I think she was
still
hot
45. Getting it done still at 45. I think
that most of her roles came to her because she was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I didn't think she was that good.
I thought she was good. My issue too is how, and I read this in another review, and I thought it was an interesting point. How Stone makes the cartel into this all-powerful, unbeatable, godlike entity, mm-hmm. you know, and Salma Hayek portrays that. And they also try, which I think what Stone does that's interesting and that works for Salma Hayek's character is how she humanizes her at times.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is he tries to do the same thing a little with Blake Lively's character, especially the interactions between her and Salma Hayek, but they never work for me. And I think at the whole time, I'm feeling Blake Lively is just this spoiled California girl who never really appreciates the situation that she's in.
I agree with
and
you.
And she has no concept of the reality of it, which I don't know if is more Lively's performance's fault or Stone's fault for never really examining that.
There was a scene toward the end where Benicio del Toro kind of reveals something awful to her. And like, it just didn't hit home because, like, I didn't care about her character at all.
No. She's petulant throughout the entire thing. Yeah. She is, it's just, you can't portray Salma Hayek and Benicio del Toro and the cartel as these all-powerful, evil beings, and then you stick Blake Lively in the film and have her just, like, totally fine with everything that's going on around her. I would expect a little more fear and emotion out of her instead of her just being basically annoyed of the situation she's in throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a choice, but just if that was a choice, it didn't work. So what would you recommend then for people for the Savages?
I would say skip it. There's better movies out there to watch.
And by the time the show is posted, the biggest film of the year will be out.
Brave? Oh, Tyler Perry?
His Alex Cross film.
What movie is that?
Alex Cross?
Yeah. His Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. That might be the movie I'm speaking
of. Yeah. So you're saying reviews are in already for that. Okay, yeah.
And they're all really good. Savage. If you're a Stone fan, you can check it out in a matinee. I'd say it's worth seeing. I like some of the color choices he uses at times. Though, see, that's what's so maddening about it, because there are scenes that he chooses, the way he shoots it, at times it's really cool and gorgeous, and there are other times where he reverts this kind of like black and white jump cut type stuff that just didn't. I don't know. I just
and like the weird things where like all of a sudden they throw in these like almost like a Nine Inch Nails video.
Yeah,
it's just weird. Yeah,
yeah. I'd say it's worth renting if you like his films and you like a good little revenge type violent film, then I guess this will at least give you that. But it is, like Dave said, it is a little long. So, better if you got a chance to see Savages, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, you know what happened while I was watching this movie?
What happened?
Right, so my fiance calls me during the movie.
So, you pick up the phone.
No, of course I see that it's her. I said, I'll call her back when I'm out of the movie. But she continues to call, which makes me think, okay, it must be an emergency. So I walk out of the theater for a few seconds. Take the phone call.
Yeah.
She's like, blah, 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 this is happening, that's happening. I need this, I need that. Oh, and by the way, when you get home, can you give the dog a seizure pill? I'm like, seizure pill? What's he need a seizure pill? There's epic thunderstorms coming through. So I'm near the windows to the theater.
Yeah.
So I look out the window, and there's like these huge, like black clouds coming. I'm like, oh, crap. The top's off the Jeep. So I run out to the Jeep during the movie.
So how much of the movie did you miss?
It takes 2 minutes to put the Jeep, the top on. I come back in, it's still the same damn scene.
Right. know, I had a fun little interesting story too when I saw Savage. Uh-huh. Though I didn't miss anything, I almost did. I had the most violent stomach ache. Like with 20 minutes left to go. Like I thought I was going to be ill. I almost left at one point, but I'm like, that's gotta be over soon. And I held it and I held it.
And of course it was a 2 hour and 9 minute movie.
Yeah. So if I finally I cleared it, I bolt to the bathroom and things go horribly awry. But at least I finished the film, so I was very happy about that. But, yeah, that was one of the worst stomach aches I've had in a while. Yep. Whew! Anyway, so shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. I would love to hear your thoughts. I'll tell you more in detail about my bathroom story if you'd like to hear it. And we'll take a break, come back, and Roteo's coming up on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday, July 24th, the day before my birthday. So jump on Amazon, look at my wish list. There's a bunch of stuff on there. And the Criterion sale is going on right now as well. We'll be right back.
On Friday, March 9th, at 7:20 p.m., one of the most shocking and twisted incidents ever recorded befell Sarah Murphy and her father. Their ordeal lasted 88 minutes. Witness these true events in real time.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, sweetie.
I checked your Facebook page. What's his name wrote on your wall again?
God, I should never have added you. How long's it been since you were out here?
A long time. Years.
What are you doing here now?
Dad?
What are you doing?
I just thought I heard something upstairs. Daddy? Dad?
Welcome back to the big show, and now it's time to tell you what's coming up on Blu-ray and DVD this upcoming Tuesday, July 24th. Well, Dave, it's another slow week. A film I got to see in a theater, which I enjoyed, though I've heard the original version is better, and I think the original is, I don't know if it's Japanese. Anyway, it's Silent House, which stars Ashley Olsen, the non-twin, non-anorexic one. She was in another great film I saw last year. Yeah, what was that? Marcy May, Marlene, something or other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Movie.
Anyway, this is her in this... Basically, she gets trapped in this haunted house. No, it's not a haunted house, but she gets trapped in this house with this guy who's trying to kill her. And it's got this really kind of crazy twist at the end that they kind of do a good job of laying the groundwork with, but you may have a problem with it. But I still enjoyed it. Comes a Blu-ray, DVD, ultraviolet digital copy. Includes commentary by co-director and screenwriter.
This isn't the one that was like one shot all the way through.
It was portrayed as being from in not one shot, but in real time. Like the whole film unravels over that as like that 90 minutes. Yes, though it doesn't really. But that's how they. A film I wanted to see that played locally here in Hartford, Hero Dreams of Fish, about this old guy who runs a sushi stand in this subway area, and I think it's in Japan, and how he's one of the only few places, restaurants in the world that have got this, like, coveted, was it 3-star rating from, not Zagat's, but, damn, I can't remember. but it's like really hard to get it. Mm-hmm. And then supposedly people come in from all over the world just to try to eat this guy's sushi.
And he's in a Subway station?
Yeah. And I guess what it is, too, it's also a story about him and his family, how his son has all these inferiority issues because he'll never be the sushi chef that his dad is. And mm-hmm. it's supposed to be a fantastic film. It's finally being released on Blu-ray and DVD, so I'll be checking that out. New to Blue, well, Island of Dr. Moreau, that god-awful Val Kilmer film with Brando, is being released, as well as Mystery Men. You know, that Ben Stiller, Janine Garofalo superhero movie?
Yeah, there were some funny parts in that movie.
That's getting released on Blu-ray. Criterion is bringing us...
And I shovel well.
Criterion is bringing us two films by Whit Stillman, the legendary indie director, Metropolitan, and then The Last Days of Disco, both with a ton of special features. So if you're a fan of those films, you're getting their release on Blu-ray from Criterion. And that's really it. Not a big week. So I'll tell you what your straight-to-DVD pick of the week is. It's, once again, too, not a strong week for that. But I found this, and I thought it at least sounded kind of funny. It's called Age of the Dragons. Dave, I don't know if you know this, but Age of the Dragons is an adaptation of Herman Melville's classic novel, Moby Dick.
Oh.
It's set in a medieval realm where Captain Ahab and a crew hunt dragons for the vitriol that powers their world. Ishmael, that's what it says, vitriol. Ishmael, a charismatic harpooner, and his friend, Queequeg, join their quest. Ahab's adopted daughter, Rachel, beautiful and tough, runs the hunting vessel. Ahab's obsession to seek revenge on a great white dragon that slaughtered his family when he was young and left his body scarred and mauled drives the crew deeper into the heart of darkness. In the white dragon's lair, Ahab's secrets are revealed, and Rachel must choose between following him on his dark quest or escape to a new life with Ishmael. I just think it's a funny concept that we're going to make it instead of whales, we're going to make them dragons.
Like, if I saw this on Netflix, I might watch it.
So there you go. That's your straight-to-DVD pick of the week. So, Dave, do you have a streaming pick of the week?
I do, and you're going to hate it because it's another TV series.
Great.
Breaking Bad is on Netflix.
Yep.
This one's about a high school chemistry teacher who turns to cooking meth to provide for his family after learning he has cancer.
Now, did they just start the new season?
Yeah, they just started to air on Real TV, the fifth season. But everything up through the fourth season is available on Netflix.
I started watching it. I watched like four episodes and I got distracted by something. So I should jump back into it.
It is. It's really good. It's
I've heard the second and third, or is the third season is like the best.
Builds up. Okay, so in all honesty, I watched the first, second, and third season, probably two episodes out of each season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was enough that I could see what was going on, but I didn't really have like all the, you know, the
background,
backstory.
Yeah.
So I just started watching it on Netflix, and I'm absolutely loving it. And that's why I made it a pick.
Fair enough.
It's really, it's a fun show. It's got comedy, it's got drama, and it's good stuff.
And what's his name has won a bunch of Emmys, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Or in Golden Globes, too. Fair enough. All right, Dave. And that's it. That's our Blu-ray and DVD picks for this upcoming Tuesday, July 24th. Let's take another break, come back, and they're going to run down the inventory of the best films of 2012.
So far.
So far. We'll tell you exactly what that criterion is when we get back.
We should do a predictive list. The best films coming up.
Yeah, we can do that afterwards. We'll do that for the Dark Knight shows.
What kind of bird are you?
I'm a sparrow. She's a dove.
No, I said, what kind of bird are you?
Dear Susie, here's my plan.
Dear Sam, my answer is yes.
Dear Susie, one.
Dear Sam, where?
Dear Susie, walk 400 yards due north from your house to the dirt path which has not got any name on it. Turn right and follow to the end. I will meet you in the meadow.
Who's missing?
Shukuski, you in there?
Jiminy Cricket, he flew the coop.
Paul, where the hell are you?
Right here.
Does it concern you that your daughter has just run away from home?
That's a loaded question.
Until help arrives, I'm deputizing the little guy, the skinny one, and the boy with the patch on his eye to come with me in the station wagon.
C'est le temps de l'amour, le temps des copains, et de l'aventure.
What am I looking at?
He does watercolors, mostly landscapes, but a few nudes.
If we find him, I'm not going to be the one who forgot to bring a weapon.
Me neither.
there's a boy.
I'm told that he's just been struck by lightning.
It's true.
I'll be out back. I'm going to find a tree to chop down.
It's the first run here with Chris Scalzo.
Dave Cunningham.
And now it's going to be inventory time when we run down the best films of 2012 so far. So basically, my criterion, Dave, was January 1st to June 30th.
Yeah.
Nothing from July.
Right.
Which, you know, is good, I guess. Which means I couldn't include, like, we did this show in a couple weeks. I'd be so tempted to throw Dark Knight on here, I'm sure.
Right.
Have you heard the early reviews?
Yeah, I saw I got like 89% on Metacritic so far.
It's doing quite well.
I don't know how many reviews that is, but
Rotten Tomatoes. Did you hear the big flack that's going on?
No.
Rotten Tomatoes, for the first time in its history, suspended its comments section under a review because of The Dark Knight Rises.
What happened?
I guess some people had written disparaging reviews of the film, so the fanboys went crazy and just started writing horrible things like they're going to kill the reviewer or stuff like that.
What is that? How can you justify saying something about a reviewer when you have not seen the movie yet?
I think it's a fair point. Though there is one review, and when I ever read his reviews, I just want to slap him. You know, you ever read any Rex Reed stuff?
No.
Let's put it this way. If you go on Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes and look for a movie you like, mm-hmm. and then try and find the worst score,
the Rex Reed.
Odds are it's going to be Rex Reed.
Okay.
His review...
Does he not like watching movies?
No, he's just an old school guy, and I think he more... It's for him, it's more about himself and taking down the big films. He hates Christopher Nolan. He thinks Inception and Dark Knight are absolute trash films.
Okay.
He wrote an infamous review of Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
That reads as if he didn't even watch the movie.
Oh, really?
He says stuff in that happened that did not happen in the movie.
Really?
So, he's amongst the fanboy guys like me, he's not considered very reliable. Basically, if I see him hate a movie, it usually means it's something important to like.
Oh, okay.
So I guess he is reliable. So, Dave, now we're going to run down the list for 2012 Best Films of the Year.
Do you have any trouble making this list?
No.
No?
Ish. Well, let me put it this way. My 5 through 4 are pretty interchangeable.
Uh-huh.
And my number one is a clear lock.
Yeah.
Mine
was a clear lock, too.
But for the rest of them, and I think there's a couple films on here, you will be surprised, I think, that you'll be surprised that I...
Really?
Did make and did not make my list.
My 1 through 3 was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my 3 was a little bit... I was surprised that I put it as high up as I did. But my 4 and 5, like... I left some films off that I liked.
As did I. In fact, the fact that my number 2 is the film it is shocked me. When I was going through them, I tried to rank them by... Out of all the movies this year, which ones do I want to see again?
Uh-huh.
And which ones am I going to buy as quickly as possible? Except I blew up my criteria with my number 3 pick because it's a movie I don't think I ever want to watch again.
Okay.
But it's so good, and I always recommend it to people. We'll tell you what it is when we get there. To start off, my number 5 is The Raid, Redemption.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that film.
I did too.
I love action movies, and especially kung fu films, or I should say martial arts films. But this story about this SWAT team that are basically set up to go take out a rival crime lord's boss, and then they have to make it through, get out of this building alive now once they realize they've been set up.
Yeah.
It is wall-to-wall action.
Action is awesome.
It is intense. Some of the best choreographed fighting I've seen in a movie.
Agreed.
Brilliant ideas. It is endlessly entertaining. I will be buying it as soon as I can. It is a fantastic film, and if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. If you like any kind of those kung fu, martial arts type movies, you will not be disappointed with The Raid, Redemption.
I completely agree with you. My number 5 is Cabin in the Woods.
Mm.
I don't like horror movies, but I really like this film.
No, you don't. I'm surprised it made the list just because of that.
Yeah. If this had enough extra stuff to it, though,
right.
You know, that it really made it entertaining. I really love kind of the side story going on. I thought that was amazingly funny.
Yes.
And I really like that actor. I can't remember his name.
Richard Jenkins or Bradley Whitford?
Bradley Whitford.
Okay.
I thought he was hilarious in that role. And this movie was fun, and it, like, I really enjoyed it.
Yep. I would agree with that. My number four, then, is a film we did not get to see for the show.
Uh-huh.
Though I did find, I was lucky to go see it, and I think it's already gone out of the theaters. Safety Not Guaranteed. Mark Duplass from the League, as well as Aubrey Plaza, who's on Park and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Duplass plays us. He puts an ad in the newspaper that says he's looking for someone to go time travel with him.
Yeah, safety and, not guaranteed.
Exactly, and he says that I'm going. What is it? I can't confirm you that you'll make it back. Please bring your own weapons. I've only done this once before. Safety not guaranteed.
Yeah.
And so Aubrey Plaza teams up with some other people, they're reporters, and they go as a human interest story to go talk to this guy to see if he's just some weird lone nut and what's going on with him. And the two of them kind of start then have a burgeoning romance and eventually fall in love, and the whole thing is... But I want to state, though, it is a hilarious movie. Mm-hmm. I laughed so much in that movie. It's very clever. I'm not going to give away if he travels in time or not. It's kind of a big cliffhanger. But it's very well done. It's very smart and clever, and I highly recommend it. If you get a chance to see it, please check it out. It's Safety Not Guaranteed. That's my number four.
My number four is The Raid.
Okay.
So we just talked about it. We don't need to talk about it more, but like we said, it was really good. The action, I will talk about it. I mean, the action is just absolutely intense. It reminds me of watching the Bruce Lee movies, where it's more like an athletic event than it is a movie, but this movie has, you know, a real good story, and it's just an amazing movie.
Very good. My number three is my one timer on this list.
Yeah.
It's actually really cheap to buy on Blu-ray. You can get it at Best Buy for like $17-$18. We need to talk about Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Tilda Swinton plays a mother struggling with the fact that her son is psychotic.
Yeah.
And going there, and you don't find out what happens until the end of the movie. What happened, there's, the movie happens in present time, and then flashbacks to, so you see her dealing with something, you don't know what happened, and then she flashes back to raising her son, even from like when he was a toddler, and you can just see that there's something wrong with this kid, and the husband refuses to see, just said, oh, he's just normal, he's going through stages or phase, but her dealing with what her son finally does do, and retracing her parentage of him, trying to figure out where she went wrong. It is, her performance in that is so painful and just riveting. You cannot take your eyes off the screen. She is fantastic in this. I really hope she gets nominated for an Academy Award. I doubt it because the movie came out so early. But it is a dark, somber film. It's tough to sit through because it's just challenging you the whole time. But I'm so glad I saw it. So if you're looking for a little challenge, something different to watch, it is available now on Blu-ray and DVD. We need to talk about Kevin. It's my number three.
I am not looking for something different to watch. My number three is Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit surprised that I put this on my list. But the thing is that since I watched that movie, I continue to think about it.
Yep.
It will not leave my brain. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like it that much the first time.
That's good. Scott's able to get his hooks into your brain. That's good.
So, you know, that's all I got to say about it, really, is I'm a little bit surprised it's my number three, but it's there.
As am I. It didn't make my top five.
Yeah.
I went back and forth on Prometheus. I think I need to see it again. There are moments I love. I love Fassbender in that movie. It's just that I enjoyed these other films more, including my number two, Cabin in the Woods. I was surprised that this went up to number two for me, but when I went down in sheer enjoyability factor, if enjoyability is a word.
It definitely a word.
That I had the most fun out of all those at Cabin in the Woods. The beginning of the film alone, with the day-to-day doldrums of this guy's, the tedium of their lives, and then the cliched horror screen credits that come up.
Yeah.
From that point on, I knew I was going to love this movie.
Remember the part with the betting pool?
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious.
It is so clever. So what's great about the film and why it's worked so well is that not only does it satirize the genre and take it apart, but it does it respectfully and lovingly and does it expertly well. And it ends up being a love letter to why these movies are so ridiculous. but why they're so cool because of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love that film. So, yeah, Cabin in the Woods.
My number two was The Gray.
I was wondering if it was going to make your list. I know, definitely. You loved it when it came out.
This movie is like an ode to being a man. Again, I think about this movie a lot, like in day-to-day
life. Have you bought it yet? Because I know you said you would, but it's available.
It is available? I haven't bought it yet.
Okay.
But I might. I don't have a functioning Blu-ray player right now, so.
Oh. Whoa.
That's kind of holding
me back. I don't know what I would do.
I watch a lot of Netflix. That's what I do.
Man.
But yeah, this movie, I mean, I just loved it. I loved every minute of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Nice. For me, then, my number one is Moonrise Kingdom.
That's my number one.
It's still the best film I've seen all year.
Yeah.
It's so clever. It's so smart. It's funny. It's cute. It's the truest representation of young love that I've ever seen on film. And it is less annoyingly quirky than I think his last couple films. This, for me, is a return to the form of Royal Tenenbaum's Rushmore, Wes Anderson.
Yeah. I would completely agree. It's, you know, it's a little... It's concerning watching the previews when you start seeing that what it's about, but it's expertly handled. You're right. I've never seen a movie that handles young love like that. I mean, it just feels real.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's completely ridiculous.
You're basically reading. It's a storybook fairy tale on film.
But it feels authentic.
Yes, it totally does.
You know.
So I'm surprised. Neither of our lists, The Avengers.
Nah,
Dictator.
I wasn't that big on that.
Ted. I thought Ted might.
Ted was funny, but
Amazing Spider-Man. I went back and forth on too.
Not me. I'm not Spider-Man over. I'm not superhero.
Hunger Games. No Hunger Games.
Hunger Games almost beat out Cabin in the Woods for me because I really enjoyed it.
And then I also really liked Haywire, but it didn't quite make my
cut. Yeah, I don't know. If I never watch that movie again, I'd be okay with it.
Fair enough.
I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's only so much time.
There's so much time in the world. So that's it. That's our inventory of the best films of 2012 so far. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Shoot us an email at thefirstrun@gmail.com. We'll take another break, come back, and man, I really have no idea what we're going to talk about next week.
I think, what are we watching? Tyler Perry something?
Witness Protection.
Witness Protection.
Yeah, we'll get into that when we get back.
I have seen worse cartilage in knees.
It's good.
No, that's because there is no cartilage in your knee, scar tissue on your kidneys, concussive damage to your brain tissue. I cannot recommend that you go hella skiing.
This city needs me.
You don't stand a chance against these guys.
With your help, I might.
Sorry.
Dark Knight Rises.
This is the spot.
Rated PG-13. In theaters and IMAX Friday.
And that's the big show for this week. Next week, it is the cinematic event of 2012. The film I have waited 4 years to see. I've been counting down the days.
Has it been 4 years since The Dark Knight?
2008.
Oh, my God. It doesn't feel that long.
No, it does not. I can't be disappointed by this film like I was Dragon Tattoo. I can't. I don't know what I will do with myself.
What are you looking forward to next after this?
Skyfall. James Bond.
At least you got that to look forward to. What if this is like a colossal piece of shit?
It won't be. Come on. I've been in Dark Knight Rises lockdown, so I haven't read anything new about it. I've avoided reading the reviews because I don't want to get any spoilers. Oh, I read one thing today that I didn't even mean to. It was like a headline on a news site, and I'm like, dude! The theory that is that just Gordon Levitt will be Robin in a way. Film, which I hope isn't true.
Oh, really?
Because no one has said no Robin in any of his movies.
Oh, good.
So maybe he does Nightwing instead. Anyway, their early reviews have been exceptional, outside of a few people who say the film's a little bloated at 245. I can't imagine it's enough. But I got my ticket the other day. I posted it on Facebook. I even took a picture of it. I haven't been this excited about a movie since probably The Dark Knight. I really cannot wait to see it. And I'm more excited about this than I was The Dark Knight. More excited about this than I was about Casino Royale. And I'm a huge Bond fan. And I remember thinking that Craig was like the perfect choice. So I was all stoked for that. And I did just say stoked.
Stoked. don't know. You know,
I think you're. What about you? Your expectations, I'm sure, are a little more muted than mine.
I'm concerned about the length of the movie. Two hours and 45 minutes is a long time.
From what I understand, it takes about an hour to get going.
Uh huh.
And then from there on, it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't.
I mean, if he can make a movie that's as good as The Dark Knight, I am all in. I can't wait.
All right. So that's it. We're going to do two Dark Knight shows. We'll do a straight Dark Knight show. We don't know what's going to be the third segment yet or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll come up with something clever and funny like we always do. And then we'll have another show, which will air probably a few days after, which will be the Dark Knight Rises spoiler show, which it's up in the air, but Esposito and Howell, the original co-host of the show, will be here probably for both of those. Espo's on the fence.
Okay.
But I believe Matt will be here.
That's good.
So that's it. That's who knows? Maybe we'll have some other special guests. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to see the movie this weekend. We may have Joseph Gordon-Levitt call in. We're still trying to work out the logistics of that.
Yeah.
So,
get him on Skype.
And I'm seeing Anne Hathaway this weekend.
Oh, good.
So maybe we can get her to stay a couple extra days.
Tell us and
I will.
And I'll give her a shirt back next time I see her.
Yes. And that's the big show for this week. Look us up on the social networking sites. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Should do a search for The First Run. Should we do a Tumblr page?
I don't even know what a Tumblr is.
I thought you were the hip tech guy.
Oh, I just fix stuff.
Fair enough. And that's the big show for this week. Want to take a little extended break, and we'll see you all in a week with The Dark Knight Rises.
See you next week.